Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I ask for your anointing today to give out the word that you have asked to give out. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be a blessing for everybody. And Lord, just bless us to give it out in a way that would be beneficial to everyone who listens. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, I want to talk about the seed of Christ bears the fruit of Christ. Jesus, in the parable of the sower, pointed out to us four different types of people. And three of the four, when they heard the good news, fell away. Even though they were the ones, at least the last three, these were the ones who were called. Let's go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they have heard, straightway comes Satan and takes away the word which hath been sown in them. And these in like manner are they that are sown upon the rocky places, who, when they have heard the word, straightway receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecutions arise because of the word, straightway they stumble. And others are they that are sown among the thorns. And these are they that have heard the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are they that were sown upon the good ground, such as hear the word, and accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And again, three of the four types, when they heard the good news, fell away. Only one bore the fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And these are the true kingdom people. So if you love simplicity, if you love the very simple lie that all you need to do is shake some preacher's hand and go sit on the pew, wait for the rapture, well, you're one of those fools who hates knowledge. And if that's all you do, you're hating knowledge. You need to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, as it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 1 verses 23 through 26. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. You know, many reject the spirit of God, the spirit of wisdom. And if you don't seek out your own salvation, you're rejecting the spirit of God and the spirit of wisdom as it was given in the book of Acts. Then it goes on to say, I will make known my words unto you. 24, because I have called and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man hath regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh in the day of your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as a storm and your calamity comes on as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then will they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Folks, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as it says in Proverbs 9 and 10. Verse 30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. You know, it's a lot simpler to let a preacher who's walking in the flesh tell you how easy it is to be in the kingdom and that you really don't have to lose your life, as Jesus said, in order to gain your life. You don't really have to do that. That's the hard way. Just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Sit on a pew. Go ahead on and put your money in the bucket and everything's going to be okay. Proverbs 1:31 says, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. My, they're the devices that are out there now. We have unconditional eternal security. Then that's a deadly one. It teaches you that you don't have to do anything after receiving salvation. But you know, look what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. Those people who don't have good works are obviously not the people of God. And they're going to speak against the works, although the Bible says just the opposite. The Bible says that you're going to be judged according to your works. And it says it very clearly over and over and over again. Hebrews chapter 11, 8 through 30, James 2, 14 through 26, and on and on and on. So how do we bear the fruit of good works? First of all, we got to put goodness in our heart, because that's the wisdom of God, the word of God that reprograms our mind to think, to walk, to talk, and to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 32 says, for the backsliding, now that word backsliding means falling away, the backsliding of the simple shall slay them, and the careless ease of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell securely, and shall be quiet without fear of evil. Proverbs 2 and 1 says, my son, and this is wisdom talking, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou cry after discernment and lift up thy voice for understanding. The Bible promises that if you ask the Lord for wisdom, he's going to give it to you. And if you ask him for understanding, he's going to give that to you. So don't be double-minded, but ask him and seek him, as it says in James chapter 1. Ask him even to put it in your heart to desire it, and he'll do it. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 4 says, if thou seek her, if you seek wisdom, as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Yeah, you have to have the fear of the Lord. Many people hear the scriptures but totally ignore what they've heard because they don't have the fear of the Lord. And find the knowledge of God, it says. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity, that he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and justice and equity, yea, every good path, for wisdom shall enter into thy heart, and knowledge shall be pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall watch over thee. Understanding shall keep thee to deliver thee from the way of evil, from the men that speak perverse things. Whoso forsakes the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. And that's what a lot of people do. They get saved, and then they continue to walk in the same way they've always walked, not seeking out the knowledge and wisdom of God to know even what is the will of God. Verse 14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, who are crooked in their ways and wayward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the foreigner that flattereth with her words. The strange woman is the harlot of Revelation 17, but that harlot is the mother of harlots of the earth, Revelation 17 and 5. It's only the seed of Christ that bears the fruit of Christ. All of those sects that came out of the mother are also called harlots, because every one of those denominations received their own seed, the seed that wasn't the seed of the husband. That makes them harlots. They received their own wisdom and their own knowledge. The knowledge of the gospel, folks, is being ignored. They've reduced it to nothing more than moralizing, and there ain't no hope for moralizing, I'm telling you. Those apostate preachers get up and give a scripture verse or two on Sunday morning, but the rest of the time it's all their knowledge and their wisdom. Folks, there ain't nothing more important than the Word of God. The Word going into your heart recreates Jesus Christ in you. He is the Word. It's the Word that does it. There ain't nothing else can do it. No moralizing can do it. You can go to some church and get moralized every Sunday and maybe even every Wednesday. And if you're really diligent to go after moralizing, but moralizing, folks, won't give you the knowledge of the gospel. Moralizing won't give you the knowledge of how you can receive freely that nature of Jesus Christ. It won't give you that confidence that this is your gift from God, that this is the reconciliation that he gave you at the cross. He took your life, nailed it on the cross, and gave you his life. And as Paul proclaimed in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that lives, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. In other words, now it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 16 says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the foreigner that flatters with her words. Those apostate preachers are going to make it easy for you. They'll tell you, come over here. We believe in once saved, always saved. You ain't got to do nothing. Just believe. They will lead you in their crooked ways and in their wayward paths. Verse 17, that forsakes the friend of her youth. That's the one who saved you in the beginning, Jesus. The one you loved in the beginning, Jesus. And now they want to give you another Jesus and another gospel and another spirit. And forgets the covenant of her God. Some people don't even get to know that covenant before they're led astray from the Bible by the teachings of men. And as Jesus said to the Pharisees of his day in Mark chapter 7 and verse 6, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold fast the tradition of men. Full well do you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Verse 13, making void the word of God by your tradition which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. Folks, there's no difference in the nature of man from the time Jesus said that till now. We have to repent and believe what he says, and this is how we are reprogrammed to walk that straight walk. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 18 says, for her house inclines unto death, and her paths unto the dead. Well, that's true. Every one of those heartless houses inclines to death. Then verse 19, none that go unto her return again, neither do they attain unto the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land. Then that's the land of God's people. That's the promised land. And each promise that we read in the Word will become ours if we are bold to stand on it. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 24 says, every place whereon the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours. God's saying here, every place you put your foot, I'm going to give it to you. God has given us this land that we walk in, which is this flesh that comes from the earth, in order for us to conquer it. And those tribes that originally inhabited the land, the Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, and all Amite boys, all represent the lust of the old man that had to be conquered in order to take that land for the spiritual man, Jesus Christ, who is what? Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's growing in you like a little baby, and you have to feed him. Don't feed the flesh, feed him. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 46. While he, that's Jesus, was yet speaking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, seeking to speak to him. And one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, seeking to speak to thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? In verse 49, And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. And those who do the will of the Father are those who are bringing forth the fruit of Jesus Christ in their life. Praise God. Now let's continue on that narrow path, okay? Proverbs 2 and 21, For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. There's a great falling away because there's a broad road to destruction, as Jesus said. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are they that enter in thereby, for narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leads unto life, and few are they that find it. We don't know the narrow road unless we study the wisdom of God, and that's all through the Bible. 2 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, Whosoever goes onward and abides not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. Folks, it's not who starts out with you, it's who continues with you. There's a lot of folks who think they know the teaching, but they're getting it a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth hand. The only way you're going to know the teaching and the wisdom of God is to study the Word and seek out the wisdom of God for yourself. Don't go into a dead church and be leavened the rest of your life. We just read that people go there and they don't ever come out. They're wasting their life and they never come to know the wisdom of God. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 21, For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. And perfect is a word that also means mature, right? Those who came into the image of Christ are the mature ones. Verse 22, But the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. That's still talking about the same people. The wicked are the treacherous. Matthew 22 and 14, For many are called, but few chosen. You see, the wicked, they'll start out with you, but they don't finish with you. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19, They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they all are not of us. The wicked are going to be cut off from the land, and that's the land of promise. They're not going to know the promises. They'll not live by the promises. Paul exhorted God's people to not be sons of the handmaid, but be sons of the free woman. But because it's going to be proven that not everyone who is a son of Abraham is chosen. The word says many are called, but few are chosen. Galatians 4:22 says, For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid, one by the free woman. Howbeit, the son by the handmaid is born after the flesh, but the son by the free woman is born through the promise. The promise is what begets you again unto Jesus Christ and everything that he is and all that he does and thinks. Glory to God. It's the promise that does that. And it's not being moralized. It's not joining a religion. Because the son of the free woman is born through the promises, born again in spirit, soul, and body. Abraham so badly wanted Ishmael to be chosen by God, and I too. We have wanted to be chosen, people to be chosen by God. And we sown that seed into. And when the sons of the handmaid begin to fall away, we cry for them, but they are manifesting who they are. Galatians 4:24 says, Which things contain an allegory? For these women are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, bearing children unto body, which is Hagar. If you're born of Hagar, then you're in bondage. Even while you're in religion, you can be in bondage just as the Israelites were. They were in so much bondage that when Jesus came to bring them to the higher order, they couldn't come out of bondage. 25. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. It was the Israelites who went to Mount Sinai. And so Paul is applying this to them because they were in bondage and they didn't even know it. And it goes on and says, and answer is to the Jerusalem that now is. That's the physical Jerusalem over there in the Middle East that's in bondage. For she is in bondage with her children. Verse 26, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother. Praise God forevermore. We're being born from above, first spirit, then soul, and then body. The soul, of course, is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Your soul has to walk after the spirit to receive the nature of that spirit in order for you to bear his fruit in your soul. Romans 8 and 13 says, for if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And when you were first saved, you received a born-again spirit. But now you have to go on to bear fruit in your soul. Only if you bear the fruit, which is Christ-likeness, will you get that new body, the born-again body like his body. Now, those harlot houses tell you to just step over the line, and that's all you need. That's all you do to be born again in your spirit. Folks, that ain't enough because you haven't borne fruit yet. And how do you bear fruit? The way you bear fruit immediately is that you believe you have received, as the word said. Jesus said in Mark 11, 24, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe ye received them, and you shall have them. And you walk by faith for them until you see them. Everything that the Lord offers will be nothing to the person who doesn't reach out and receive the promises by faith. They will not come to pass. And Paul tells us why in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, the word of hearing did not profit them because it was not united by faith with them that heard. You see, they didn't mix faith with the words. Galatians 4:27 says, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For more are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. Yeah, there's a bunch of people that are called, but few are chosen. Verse 28, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, so also is it now. We know that Ishmael, who represents the harlot, has persecuted Isaac, who is Israel, and we know that Ishmael was chosen to be the persecutor in Genesis 16 and 12. And although they were both born of the same father, one turned out to be a persecutor that had no relationship with God. And that's what happens whenever people fall under the law. They don't have the grace relationship with God. There's no difference between those Galatians and somebody who falls under any law of religion today. They had a wrong relationship with God. And if you've got a wrong relationship with God, you're going to fall away. Galatians 4:30 says, howbeit, what saith the scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son. For the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of a handmaid, but of the free woman. He's trying to convince them because the fact was that many of them were children of the handmaid since they had fallen back under the law, back under a false relationship with God. And he's trying to convince them of who they are supposed to be, of whom they can appropriate here. Galatians 5 and verse 1 says, "For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage." Now, returning back to where we were in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 21, "For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it." It's obvious that the Ishmaelites are being cut off from the land of promise, because they bought a lie in their religion, as a lot of other people have in their religion. The opportunities of reading God's word and appropriating everything that's being given unto us, folks, is tremendous. That's why what being called means. It's an invitation to partake of all those promises of God. Proverbs 4 and 4 says, "And he taught me and said unto me, let thy heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live." How are you going to continue to live? Well, you continue to live by studying and keeping his commandments, delighting in his commandments, and delighting in being pleasing unto him. Jesus said, "He that loves me will keep my commandments," in John 14, 21. You don't love him if you're keeping the commandments of men. Men make it easy for the old man to live because they don't want to lose their old life. They don't like the crucified life that comes with loving the commandments of God. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5 says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." Get wisdom, get understanding. "Forsake her not, and she will preserve thee. Love her, and she will keep thee." Folks, that's the truth. Wisdom will keep you from falling away. Wisdom is the principal thing. "Therefore, get wisdom. Yea, with all thy getting, get understanding." And then verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings." 21, "Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy hearts, for they are life." And some people think that eternal life is something that God put in their hand, that he can't take it back. But John says, what does the word say? 1 John 5 and 11 says this, "And the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath the life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not the life." You see, God didn't put anything in your hand. He gave eternal life to be in the Son and abide in the Son. And that's where we have eternal life, is in the Son. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 22. "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." You see, if you die too soon, you don't bear the fruits you could have borne if you had continued on. Many people don't even know that we're not under the curse. They don't know that Jesus is our Passover lamb. They don't know that the destroyer was meant to pass over us and take out the Egyptians. So many people are passing up the calling. Proverbs 4, 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Life comes out of your heart. And if you put the wisdom of God in there, just like in the parable of the sower, you will be reprogrammed. And folks, I want you to understand that you are in danger, and the only place you have safety is in Christ. If 3 out of every 4 people who hear the gospel will fall away from it, you're in danger. You need to keep on putting the wisdom of God in your life. It'll save, and it will preserve you, just like the Bible says in Proverbs 4 and 6. Now let's look at the parable of the sower again. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. "And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He was speaking, of course, to the Jews that had the covenant first. And Jesus said in Matthew 15 to 24, "I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But you have to remember Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9. "That which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done, and there's no new thing under the sun." So here again, a man-child is coming to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Only now, as Paul said, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of God. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. Now, Israel is the ones who seek the born again experience, not just in spirit, but in soul, and ultimately in body. And these are the ones that have the covenant. These are the ones who are on the path, that narrow path unto eternal life. And if you start in faith, since faith is accounted as righteousness, even when you start on that path, as long as you stay on that path, you are assured of eternal life. Not because you have manifested it, but because you are walking by faith for it. And if you'll notice, the disciples, they asked this, why do you speak to them in parables? Of course, they wanted their brethren, the Jews, to be saved. Of course, they wanted them to understand. Make it simple for them, Jesus, just like all the apostate preachers do. That's what they wanted. They wanted them all to come in. Here's what Matthew 13 and verse 11 says. And he, that's Jesus, answered and said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, don't that sound like a reprobation at the beginning of the man-child Jesus ministry? And today, there's a man-child ministry coming again, only this time to the church. And once again, we have that same situation. These people are not disciples. They cannot hear. They've been inoculated against the truth. The man-child speaks in parables, and they don't understand it. But he won't speak to them in any other way, it says in Psalm 78. Matthew 13. But the Bible says that he took his disciples aside privately and explained to them all things. A disciple is a learner and a follower, folks. Disciples are studying the master. They're studying the master to walk in his steps. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. It's not all of those so-called eminent preachers in their fancy suits, folks. It's Jesus that is our demonstration of true Christianity, which is to walk as he walked exactly. We are to walk in his steps. He wants us to walk there with him. And it's to manifest his gifts, his works, everything. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost. That Greek word means to completely, forever, entirely. Them that draw near unto God through him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. But although you see that it's a free gift from God, you have to receive by faith the promises of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Matthew 13:12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. Whosoever hath abundance of what? This is speaking of whosoever hath understanding, whosoever hath fruit of what they have received. You see, if we walk in the light, he puts more light in our pathway. And this is someone who has been given this fruit, who has been given this understanding. And that is who shall have abundance, folks. This is someone who's walking in the light. Therefore, they deserve more light. There's no use in putting out more light from somebody that's going to walk, that's not going to walk in it. They will just be condemned that much more. So God gives you a little light, and if you walk in that, he gives you a little more light, and on and on and on. Proverbs 4:18, the path of righteousness is as the dawning light. That light shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. He gives you a lamp for your feet to show you where you stand. Because if you know where you are, he can show you where you are to go. We need to know that. Some people are in total denial about where they stand. These people believe that they've already arrived at perfection by some magic words that they've spoken or something that they did. Matthew 13 and 12 says, "But whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath." Jesus gave the parable of the talents about that exact situation. Two of the three servants multiplied the talents their Lord entrusted them, but the third servant did nothing with what he was given. And the Lord was angry with him. It said in Luke 19:22, "Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I am an austere man, taking up that which I laid not down, and reaping that which I did not sow. Then wherefore gavest thou not my money unto the bank, and I at my coming should have required it with interest?" And he said unto them that stood by, "Take away from him the pound, and give it unto him that hath the 10 pounds. And they said unto him, "Lord, he hath 10 pounds. I say unto you, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him." But when they protested, "But he has 10, it was because they didn't understand God. Folks, we're called to be disciples of Jesus Christ and to walk in his steps. But far too many people are like that third servant, and they wouldn't touch discipleship with a 10-foot pole. They've never even been taught that they needed or even had an opportunity to become a disciple. And so because they bear no fruit and they haven't sought wisdom, even though God had borne with them up to that point, finally he reprobates them. Or in other words, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. Matthew 13:13 says this, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." They've got physical eyes to see, but they don't have spiritual eyes to see. How do you get spiritual eyes to see? Well, you have to know the one who wrote the book. That's how you get spiritual eyes to see, and that's how you get spiritual ears to hear. Because you'll hear only his voice, as Jesus said. John chapter 10, verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And it's too sad that many people like to leave out that last part. "They follow me." Matthew 13 and 14, "And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, By hearing ye shall hear and shall in no wise understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall in no wise perceive." Now we know what understanding is and what perceiving is. "For this people's heart is waxed gross." He's talking about his people, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And even today, there is the lost sheep of the house of the church because they've lost the path. They don't know the way, and they don't know that the end of that way is Christ in you, the hope of glory. They don't even know that the procession that leads up to that point is Christ increasingly growing in you like a baby in the womb. Matthew 12 and 48 says, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren?" And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother." Matthew 13:15. "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest happily they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart." Folks, they're afraid to know the truth. It would make them responsible to know the truth. It's a whole lot easier to just accept Jesus as your personal Savior, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying that can't be a beginning if there was a true repentance involved. But otherwise, all you're doing is filling a church pew, and your self-deception will be revealed down the road a bit. Matthew 13:15 said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them." Folks, God really wants to heal us. He wants to heal us spiritually, physically, and every other way. These are the benefits of the kingdom, and it's only for the called, the invited. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before times eternal." So when you get saved, you get invited. When you get saved in your spirit, you get a new spirit from God. And according to what the scripture says, you receive a born-again spirit. And now you are invited to partake of the benefits of the kingdom, because now you are a kingdom person. The world doesn't have this calling. This calling is not, "Hey, come to Jesus." No, it's "who saved them and called them." You get saved, then you get this invitation to partake of the kingdom. In Israel, the Israelite had the benefits of the kingdom. The pagans didn't. Matthew 13:16 says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see." Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples here. "And your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see the things which you see." That's why it's called the good news, folks. The Jews had to struggle to find out every jot and tittle of the law and keep them, or else they had to slay a lamb. Our lamb was slain. And the good news is that what God gives us is a free gift. Praise God forevermore. Matthew 13:17 says, "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which ye see, and saw them not, and to hear the things which ye hear, and heard them not. Hear then ye the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not," who did he just get through saying did not understand the word? It was his people according to the old covenant. But the man-child ministry that is coming is going to renew a call to the true gospel, which many of the people have never heard. But a lot of them will choose to stick with their religion because it's easy. Come pay your tithes and you'll just go right into the kingdom. That's hogwash. Matthew 13:19, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the evil one and snatches away that which hath been sown in his heart." I've seen that happen when telling people what the true good news is. And they'd rather go back to their old stupid religion because it doesn't demand anything from them. "And this is he that was sown by the wayside." Not much of a chance to bear any fruit there, is there? Then verse 20, "And he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that hears the word and straightway with joy receives it." And you run across these people too. They're happy because it really is good news. 21, "Yet hath he not root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, straightway he stumbles." That's it right there. That's the falling away. This is somebody who in the beginning received the good news with joy, but then they didn't allow it to take deep root in itself. When a plant's root goes down into the dirt, it actually displaces the dirt, don't it? It takes the nutrients out of that dirt, uses it to grow into a great, nice, excellent plant. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man," that outward man, folks, is just the dirt, "is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." And if you don't give good root to the Word of God in your life, and by faith, expect it to displace what your old life was, then you're not going to bear a decent-looking plant, and you're certainly not going to bear fruit. You're going to stumble because you don't have enough root to keep you in the hard time and in the persecutions and in the tribulations. You'll fall away as an unbeliever because that wonderful life you've been told you're going to have by accepting Jesus as your personal Savior don't come. If all you do is accept Jesus as your personal Savior, then you're not giving up your life in order to receive your life, John 12:25 said. The dirt has to give up something in order for the plant to live. Otherwise, that plant jumps up quick, and even though it might look good, it dies just as quickly. Matthew 13:22, and he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that hears the word. Well, so he hears the word, he believes the word, and he accepts the word. He's not like those others in the very beginning who didn't have the ears to hear. And it goes on and says, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. You know, compared to the rest of the world, most Americans are rich. And the riches of the world give people a great opportunity for sin. And if you have nothing and you have no hope of having anything, when Jesus is given to you, you're going to grab Jesus and the good news with joy. But it might just turn out to be a jailhouse religion, so to speak. Because as soon as convicts are free and have the opportunity to go back to their sins, a lot of them go back to doing what they did before. Their sins become more important to them than the wisdom they received when they were in jail. No opportunity to sin is not a proof that you're an overcomer. The proof that you're an overcomer, folks, is that when you have the opportunity to sin, you choose God rather than sin. And by the way, if you read the letters to the churches, there are no promises to anyone who is not an overcomer. And so even if you received the good news with joy in the beginning, you could still become, as it says in Jude 1:12, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Matthew 13:23. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that hears the word and understands it, who verily bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And these are the people who are good ground for the seed. They give place for the seed to put forth deep roots, and the heat of the sun, or in other words, persecution, doesn't bother it. They love this new life, and they bear fruit. You might believe it or not, but all four of these groups are in the church. And of course, they all believe that they're saved. Now, some of them are believing that they're saved for the wrong reason. Some of them are believing that they're saved for the right reason. But none of them are doing what they were put here to do. They're not overcoming. Listen, when you baptize somebody, always tell them, now when you go down in this water, you're becoming united with Christ in the likeness of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And the thing you're buried in is the water of the word. Romans 6:4 said, we were buried therefore with him through baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away. That so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that hath died is justified from sin. You go down in that water and you're united with him in the likeness of his death. And you also become benefited by his resurrection. And then Paul goes on to tell us in Romans 6:11, even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Folks, that's faith. You're not looking in the mirror and seeing yourself. You're looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Folks, that's the gospel. So keep your eyes on the gospel, the good news, the promise that begets you unto God. Keep your eyes on that. Get your eyes off the things of the world and the distractions of the world and the persecutions of the world and the lures, deceitfulness of riches. Are you spending time with Jesus, or are you loving the world? And if you spend all your time with the world and you're distracted from the wisdom of God, you don't love him. And you won't last either, because you're not taking root. The Greek word for disciple is mathetes, and it means a learner, a pupil, a follower of Christ who learns the doctrines of Scripture and the lifestyle they require. You have to repent and believe and become a disciple of Jesus. And if you spend your time as a student of what he is and what he expects of us, and what he has given us as a free gift from God, it's just awesome, folks, that lifestyle. Well, I'm out of town. God bless you. We'll see you again next week, God willing.